are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
The most talked about Toronto Raptor Monday night was a missing bench player, forward Jonte Porter, who's become the target of a league investigation into suspicious betting.
If somebody wants to come to college and their number one reason that they're going to choose a school is NIL, then they should not come here. Our guys actually get really, really good NIL support, but we've never once used it in recruiting as an incentive. We want people to come here because they want to win, because they want to be a part of something special.
I don't like the timing of it, when the portal opens. I'd also like the focus in college basketball to be on the teams that are playing in the tournament rather than, 100 hits a day in college basketball world about another guy transferring. So I wish we could adjust the timing of it a little bit. I think it would make for a more enjoyable tournament.
And now, canceling any plans he might have had to go to Marquette, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A lot to get to today. Any moment now, we're going to go out to John Sherman. So just stay tuned for that. Our thanks that we kind of took the top of the hour break early. My thanks to Jason Anderson because we didn't want to be caught in limbo. Now you know what's going to happen. He's going to go at like 2:40. That's what always happens. The best laid plans never end up working out, but we plan on bringing you John Sherman's press conference. A number of folks talking today in preparation for opening day tomorrow. John Sherman's going to talk. We'll go live to that whenever that happens. And then the Royals and Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my understanding? Yep. At 3 o'clock, we'll announce the lease. The lease agreement. So you will have hours to prepare for your vote. Now, you've got days. Yeah. It's still days away, but we're going to get the lease. So Todd Lebo's out there covering all that. We'll talk to Todd Lebo a little bit later on in the program. We will also talk with Russ McCullough, CEO of A1C Drinks. Specifically designed for diabetics and pre-diabetics, which are a lot of people. Russ, former football player, played with the Chiefs for a little bit. Played at Mizzou. Wrestler. Did it all. We'll talk to Russ McCullough. Coming up here a little bit later on, Todd Lebo, as I said. We'll talk with him. Frank Bowles coming in. We're moving things around this week because of a lot of different things going on. Blair Kirchhoff will join us here in the 5 o'clock hour. So Blair fans that are used to him at 4 tomorrow, he's going to be at 5 today.
Again, showing how valuable he is as a regular. He'll literally go anywhere.
That is.
And anytime.
The great Blair Kirchhoff.
Yes. By the way, I've had the A1C. Big fan.
It's really good.
My favorite is the apple because it works the best with the cinnamon.
All right. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the specials at Hen House. We'll hear John Sherman right now.
John is looking forward to answering your questions. I think he had a couple things he wanted to say.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Was that it? Okay. Thank you, Sam. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. And I know there's probably some other things you want to talk about, but I'm very, very excited about the work that's been done in the offseason and very excited that we get to actually play baseball and not just talk about it. I think J.J., when I think about the goals that he's set for the offseason, to add to the rotation, to build depth in the bullpen, get a couple of bats, bring some veterans in that could help our young guys. I think he accomplished all of them in a way that kind of fits our payroll objectives and in our financial strategy also. And then signing Bobby kind of speaks for itself, but that doesn't change. He was going to be here anyway, but to have him and that our fans know he's going to be here for a long time does a lot for the club, and we certainly plan to build around him. So happy to take questions on anything, but tomorrow's a special day. Opening day to me is it's about baseball on one hand, but it's really about it's Greater Kansas City Day. It's Civic Appreciation Day. It's really a celebration, not only of baseball, but of our city. And to be able to have Major League Baseball in Kansas City is a real blessing.
We'll do like we usually do in this room. Just raise your hand, and we'll get to as many as possible.
So I wanted to ask you about your release today about Oak Street. A couple of questions off of that. How does that change? Obviously, the stadium that you guys released the blueprint up, covers over Oak Street. How does that change what the stadium's going to look like or where it's going to be placed?
You know, it doesn't really change much about the stadium. You know, that's simply about keeping Oak Street open. You know, if we, you know, we listen to the community, we listen to the mayor, the city council, certainly the people in the Crossroads Community Association. And it became clear to us that, you know, that was important that that stay open as a north-south artery. You know, it's a key part of the neighborhood, both for car traffic, pedestrian, and bicycles. So we basically just agreed that that would stay open. It does not really modify much of our stadium. Won't change anything about fixed seating, attendance. It's just that it keeps that artery open where it would have been closed, you know, to locusts.
And wanted to ask you more about the ancillary development. Are you guys calling it entertainment district? Like, what do you anticipate is going to be part of that? Does this change affect that at all?
You know, I don't think it changes. You know, a lot of that will be discussed after April 2nd, you know, with the city and the neighborhood. You know, we're going to have when people say entertainment, I think that district will be light on entertainment. You know, Power and Light's right north of us there. I think that the entertainment component, you know, it's going to organically happen around the stadium. When I talk to the people in the Crossroads, there's some breweries and there's some places, you know, just south of the stadium, which will become, I think their businesses will boom and they'll be part of that neighborhood. Like I'm not saying it's like the Cubby Bear or Murphy's Bleachers in Wrigley, but you know, I think there'll be an organic entertainment district that will evolve, and then we'll certainly we'll be focused on a hotel, residential, that type of thing in conjunction with the stadium.
You still anticipate $1 billion private investment in that area?
We do. We think there'll be $1 billion investment, I would say minimum, and we'll continue as time goes on. We'll continue to want to acquire around the ballpark, like you see in a lot of areas. And I would think this would happen in, you know, more than one phase.
Talibo, to be clear, so you're still saying your hotel and offices would be there. They just would be on the other side of Oak, and Oak would stay open? Oak would stay open. So home runs into the street like that? I mean, is that kind of the deal? Or would you have a...
Hadn't really thought about the trajectory to get one over there, but yeah, I guess so. It might break a window in the hotel. I don't know. I mean, you know, the idea would be to have a hotel where next to the stadium, almost part of the stadium, and there'd be a walkway that where, you know, people that were in the hotel either staying there or eating or could walk a crossway onto the concourse of the stadium.
And, leases are going, you have them finalized. Will these be signed before the election? Who has to sign the lease?
You know, we'll certainly sign it. The Sports Authority will sign it before it becomes finalized. Someone in Jackson County, either the executive will have to sign it or the legislature will have to approve it, one or the other.
All right. I think a credit to this announcement this morning would say that you guys are doing this today just to try to get more people to vote yes. Polling seems to be very close. Maybe you guys are behind. What do you say to somebody who thinks you guys are doing this to try to just get people to vote yes April 2nd?
You know, I would say that we're listening to people in the neighborhood. I think we're really from the beginning, the Crossroads Community Association, people in the Crossroads, businesses, the mayor and the city council expressed a strong preference for that to stay open. We did our original design with that closed, but that's really, Jonathan, really in reaction to listening to people in the community.
Yeah. How confident are you? How comfortable are you able to sleep at night? Are you nervous?
You mean about the vote? I mean, I don't sleep that well anyway. But actually, probably more excited about Cole Reagan's tomorrow and what he'll do than I am thinking about the vote. But certainly, I've been very engaged in this process. I knocked on doors over the weekend. I went to churches on the east side. Attended a couple of labor events over the last week. Went to a neighborhood meeting in the Jazz District at 18th and Vine last night. So, you know, I've got my ear to the ground. I got a pretty good feel for, I think, certainly spent some time with people in the Crossroads. you know, probably less informed on or less close to eastern Jackson County. We got some, you know, I think the Chiefs are spending more time out there in eastern Jackson County or here. So I think I got a pretty good feel for, you know, we do our own little polls. I think my wife said she went to a restaurant in Brookside and she had four yeses, two noes, and three maybes, including the server. And so I said, well, tell me about it. In fact, one of the doors I knocked on, it's interesting, might be a microcosm of, again, this is not scientific, but I heard probably all sides of the issue, canvassing with a group over the weekend. But one that struck me, knocked on the door, the husband came out. He's wearing a Fenway Park T-shirt. Hi, Mr. Sherman. Thanks for keeping Bobby Witt. I'm thinking, okay, that's a yes, right? And his wife came out, says, what's going on? And she said, well, she didn't know who I was, but these people are from the Royals and want to talk to us about the tax. And she said, well, he's a yes, but I'm a begrudging yes. And I said, well, tell me about that, because a begrudging yes could be a... not her, but there could be people feeling the same way that are going the other way. Well, I'm a little worried about parking. I've got some friends in the Crossroads. I'm concerned about some of the small business displacement, but I want to keep the teams here, and that's why I'm a yes. But, and then she didn't know who I was, and her husband told her to go get a camera. He's the owner of the Royals. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. And anyway, she thanked me she said, thanks for getting my husband excited. Now he can clean the house. But anyway, I think the feel, when you ask the question, you know, what keeps me up at night? I think it's really thinking about, you know, this decision, this process for our ownership group is, I think I've said this before, this is the most important thing that we'll probably do while we're the stewards of this franchise. We want to win baseball games, we want another parade, but this is about the future of this franchise. And in this case, it's about both these franchises. So it's really about, I hope that my objective is to keep this team in Jackson County and Kansas City to sustain ourselves as a major league city. I think a lot about our founders, Lamar Hunt and Ewing Kauffman, and I take the legacy of Ewing Kauffman and all that he did to keep this team here. And that really is what keeps me up at night. This is the path that we want to take, but I take that responsibility very seriously.
Albert, this will be your fifth opening day. Is this the highest expectations you've had?
That's a great question. You know, I'm trying not to play the expectation game, but I think, Vern, that we've done a lot to make this team better. I'm particularly encouraged by the mix of veterans in the clubhouse, the energy, you know, the younger, you know, setting an example for the younger guys. I would say that my expectations are high, but I'm not sure I know what they are. I think time will tell. You know, we start playing for real tomorrow, and I'm excited that we've added depth. We've added our rotations better, our bullpen's better, our young guys should be at another level, and we've added some veterans to the clubhouse.
Karen.
One about the Oak Street being open. Does that mean businesses east of Oak Street will stay put, that they can keep their businesses?
You know, there'll be a lot of there'll be discussion on the other side of April 2nd about that whole development. And what we said today is that we will keep Oak Street open. There'll be a series of discussions with the city council, and the businesses in the area as to how that will play out, you know, after April 2nd.
And the other one, this is not a negative. This is just a curious. Have you kind of looked at the season with the high hopes? And if for any reason things are turning a different way, have like a plan B strategy of this is what we'll be patient with, this is what we won't be. We don't want to get off to a slow start.
Come at the team and the team's performance.
I'm not switched to baseball. Yeah, sorry. Through the curve there.
You know, I really rely on, one thing I'd say about the question about, you know, I think I put JJ and Q in a tough spot last year, made a change at the top. They were all in new jobs. Young players, you know, I think Sam, is it eight people? There's eight players on this roster that were on last year's opening day roster. It's either seven or eight.
Seven.
That's a pretty significant revamp. I just think I will go with the experts in that. I mean, JJ and Q and the coaching staff. This is we got 26 young men playing this game. We hope they gel as a team. And you know, there's going to be ups and downs in 162, which, you know, actually but you don't panic when you're in a downturn. I think last year it was hard with all the young players, right? Sometimes with a lot of young players, they don't know that they're going to come out the other side, right? So it becomes more frustrating. We've got a lot of guys on this team now that know, Will Smith and, you know, the leaders that we have on this team, I think they're going to be really helpful when we're going through the downsides, building confidence. But I'll rely on Q and JJ in terms of managing the clubhouse, and I'm a supporter there.
Joe? John, you spend a lot of time in and out of spring training, and I know that you get to know all these guys and you're watching. What were your observations of what you saw? Not wins and losses, but just chemistry and the group that you have.
In spring training? Yeah. You know, I did see a I thought there were. I saw a looseness that maybe I hadn't seen before. You know, maybe more confidence. That may be the result of the veterans. Yeah, I made three trips down there. In fact, I maybe you were interviewing. Were you interviewing Vinny in the dugout when Bobby started throwing stuff at him? I mean, that was just a little bit of an incident that I thought this team is looser. But no, just talking to the. To the veterans, I just think, again, you have to wait. We'll see how they gel, right? I mean, we're going to be better on paper, but it's better on paper. Maybe you hit your fan graphs or your whatever the projections are. But if you can gel as a team and play together and play to win and do the things that, you know, sacrifice your own game for the good of the team first, that results in extra wins that's not measured by the analytics group. So I think that's what I'm excited to see, but it's a new group and they're going to have to but I think, you know, guys like Adam Frazier played that role in Baltimore. You know, Will Smith won 3 World Series in a row. I asked him to buy me a lottery ticket, and but anyway, I think it'll be exciting.
The baseball operations group expanded quite a bit, especially with the research and development team. I wondered analytically just how important that is, that growth is to what you guys are trying to do just with the analytics team.
Yeah, I think we added a lot of one of the things, and DMAC would tell you this, I think, when the new coaching staff came in last year, the demands on our analytics team, it just... you know, just took off. And we had the data. I mean, I think when we had that initial press conference, so we have the data. It's what we use the data for. But one thing I think we found out and asked them is that they had the data, but maybe it wasn't in the right format. It wasn't there to get, you know, so the speed at which it got to the dugout, I think, was slower. So they've kind of ramped that up and added certainly in R&D, but then also on the development side, on the pitching side, you know, younger development people, some of whom came from training centers that are more used to. So I think you'll see there's more in the, and I'm seeing, I mean, talk to JJ about that, but I'm seeing more pretty quick turnarounds, like in pitching and adding new pitches and guys, I mean, that I think is a direct result of that.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll be in here in a few minutes. Thank you.
Anything jump at you, Curtis?
Most of what he talked about was the most recent thing that's been talked about is the development with Oak Street and how the changes, that the insistence that Oak Street run through, how that's going to be impacted by the development. And he insists that changing the ballpark, the original renderings had the site covering Oak, but he doesn't envision this changing the park. So I don't know how they're going to pull that off. The other question I thought, it still seems like, because for the businesses east of Oak, will they be able to stay open? That this will be discussed after the vote.
That was the thing that jumped at me.
Wait a minute. How do we not know that?
Well, that's the point. I mean, that we had in the conversation with Sam McDowell. If you missed that, that's in the podcast, 4 o'clock hour yesterday. But where, you know, we talked about different things, and he said, I think we'll get a lease agreement in the next 24 to 48 hours. I think Sam knew we're probably going to get that. That's coming out at 3 today. But he talked about, well, we still don't know that. And there are all things that we thought we would know by the time the vote rolls around. But nope.
Today, he says, it'll be discussed on the other side of the ballot vote.
So if you have a business in the development area, you might be out. I thought also what jumped at me was he said, well, we'll be looking, this will be done in multiple stages, we'll be looking to acquire more property.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you don't get to, I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about eminent domain if the city is on board with this. And I want to be clear, eminent domain for a ballpark that everybody can use, but the hotel, those are just flat-out businesses.
Yes.
And look, I'm all for development, and eminent domain happens, and change comes, you know, even in Rome, you know, 500-year-old buildings are built on top of 1,000-year-old ruins. You know, I mean, change happens, I get it, but displacing one business so somebody else can put their business there?
Yeah, that's something that needs some more examination and, I think, discussion over. Also, the note that the entertainment district will be, I think, less than what they initially had thought, that it will be more organic and will evolve from the businesses around there and not so much at that site. I thought that was of note.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, let's take a break. We want to stay on schedule. We got a lot going on today. We're going to hear from Cole Reagans. We're going to hear from Matt Quattrero later on in the program as they're getting ready for opening day out at Kauffman Stadium. Todd Lebo, you heard him on the press conference. He's going to be at the next press conference coming up at 3 o'clock over at Arrowhead, where they are going to announce the lease. What that will be, I don't know. But we will bring it to you, at least as long as it's entertaining to us. As soon as it goes Snoozeville, we'll be out. But planning on doing that at 3. Frank Bull, Blair Kirchhoff, they're coming up here on the program. Russ McCullough, the CEO of A1C, a Kansas City guy. Great new product for diabetics, pre-diabetics. Talk about that as well. We're at Henhouse. You can stop on by, get stocked up. Everything you need for a delicious Easter feast is here. Whether it's back at the meat counter with that bone-in brown sugar-cured spiral ham, that's just $2.79 a pound. Golden ripe Del Monte Jumbo Pineapples for $2.88 each, or have Henhouse cook the whole feast for you. You just either go to the delicatessen or go to henhouse.com. Choose your protein, ham or turkey. Choose your side. Finish it off with a Tippins pie. It's a wonderful Easter feast right here at Henhouse. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Petro, Siebold, Dravetta with you. Curtis and I here at the Hen House, one of our favorite spots. I got to try to figure out how to get lunch. I have not had lunch today. Been a busy day running out to the ballpark to get a press pass. That was interesting.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, that was necessary. Just busy all around. We're going to talk to Russ McCullough. Coming up in our next segment, we just heard from John Sherman. His press conference, talking about the ball club, talking about a lot about the stadium. We heard Sam McDowell, who you hear every week with us, the columnist for the Kansas City Star, questioning about a number of different things.
Yep.
The other thing that I would mention, at least $1 billion investment.
Yes.
That was said. And so, you know, Here we go.
We'll include less entertainment than other ballpark districts, but it's still a bill.
Yeah. So they will be, you know, the hotel. And I do get what he's saying, like, you know, the Murphy's Bleachers idea that he was talking about around Wrigley Field. I mean, I don't think you're going to have a whole district because no one's going to walk clear over there. You know, but I think having one or two, you know, local spots, if people are residing right there, there are people living there, your little neighborhood restaurant.
Yep.
Hey, let's just run up to this. Whatever's closest to you, you probably stop to the most. You know, I do get that. But I think I will say this. The mayor said he didn't like Oak being closed. Now they're not going to close Oak.
Yep.
Whether you like it or don't like it, I think it is clear that they are listening. I think that's been a fair assessment. By him.
Absolutely. He made a point that the number of, now I always kind of, anytime anyone tells a story about someone came up to me and said, or I talked to someone and somebody said this, I always kind of go, okay. But it's every single time that John Sherman spoke about this, he has talked about how they clearly have been engaging with people in all kinds of areas. That's about all you can ask from that standpoint, is that the people who are deciding what's going to happen there will listen to the people who are going to be greatly affected by it.
Yeah. Well, you know, no one's going to, there's no plan you're going to put together that's going to make everybody 100%
right.
happy.
Right.
You know, so I do understand that. There's, you know, and what I think the voters have to decide is this the best deal that I think I can get? You know, I really don't. To me, the vote is about the Chiefs. I'm down with what the Royals are planning on. Would I like to know more details? Yes. Am I eager to hear what the lease is going to say? Yes. You know, am I concerned with the things that Sam McDowell brought up yesterday that, you know, they say they've addressed all these concerns? Well, the groups that are presenting the concerns say no. Yeah, I'm concerned about that. But again, I don't think it's possible to build any kind of project of this scale and make anybody happy.
No.
Right? And if any one group is happy, you've really pissed off another one.
There's no plot of land that everyone's like, yeah, that's good.
This is the kind of thing where everybody's got to be like, it's okay. Right? Because what one group loves is exactly the opposite of what one other group would love. So I do get that. It's difficult. It's a lot of money, but I do think it's going to add to downtown. I'm interested to hear what the lease says about the Chiefs, because to me, that's the one where I go, no. If you let me vote, if I were in Jackson County and I could vote for these separately, yes on Royals, no on Chiefs. And to me, it's a reason why if this doesn't pass, I hope they split them up. Because I think people should be able to be like, these are two major projects now, nowhere near each other. Yeah, but you got to vote yes all together.
Yep. Yep. It is unfair.
Yeah.
From that regard.
All right, let's take a break. Don't forget, Henhouse can cook your Easter dinner for you. Choose your protein, choose your side, finish it off with a Tippett's pie. You can order online at henhouse.com or just go to the delicatessen. They're also serving a great new drink. We'll talk about that with Russ McCullough next. Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we're broadcasting live here at Hen House, 119th and Row, the location. You can stop on by and say hello. Of course, Easter coming up this weekend. Everything you need for a delicious Easter feast is here, whether it's back at the meat counter with the bone-in brown sugar-cured spiral ham, just $2.79 a pound, or letting Hen House do the whole meal for you. If you want an Easter feast with no work, get to the deli or henhouse.com. You can choose your protein, ham, turkey, choose your side, finish it all off with a Tippett's pie. They got you covered. It's at henhouse.com or just stop by the deli in your local hen house. We're going to talk about a great local product with a guy that was literally one of the first interviews I did in my career 30 years ago. Russ the Bus McCullough, now the CEO of A1C Drinks, joins us here in the program. Russ, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. You're aging us. I think we should probably, you know, the 30-year thing. I mean,
I'm not
wrong. Starting to feel old.
What were your years at Mizzou?
I started at Alabama, actually. I was at 63 division. Oh, I had 63 scholarships, and I chose Alabama, which I hated. It was a year worth
right.
of hell.
What year? What year did you go to Alabama?
87.
Okay.
And then I transferred back to Mizzou. Woody was still there in 88, and then Andy, I won't mention the head coach's name because he and I never get along. But Andy came in with that staff in 89.
Andy Reid, you mean?
Andy Reid, yeah. Who doesn't? I don't think he likes me a lot, but I love him. I love the guy to death.
Why didn't he like you? He was riding you or something?
I don't get enough credit. I was the one, if you ever see those commercials or whatever about the practical jokes, I started that. That was me. I don't get any credit for that, but, you know. And it was funny because when I would do these jokes on Coach Reed, he would get so mad his whole body would turn red. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, let's see how much more red I can make him. But he kicked me out of a meeting one day. We were in a film room. And back then they had the 8mm projectors. And the meeting room was across from the weight room. And there was a guy benching 500-plus pounds. And I didn't care. And so everybody came in, and they were geeking out. This guy just benched 500 pounds. Did you guys see this guy bench 500 pounds? And they kept talking about it. And I got tired. And I didn't know Andy had come in the room. And I said, guys, you know why he can bench 500 pounds? He's too stupid to realize how heavy it is. And Coach Reed looked at me for a second. He goes, why are you playing football? You're too smart. Get out of my meeting room. And he kicked me out. I was like, well, okay.
That's awesome. Did you have an idea when you were playing that Andy Reid was going to go on to be this great head coach?
Well, there's always politics involved in it, and it's a good old boy network, just like it is in wrestling. And I absolutely knew the guy was a genius. I mean, I think he was 28 when he coached me. So I got nothing but respect for him and everything he's done. And he deserves every accolade he ever gets.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was another time, the head coach at the time, when they came in for spring ball, he kicked me off the team. And my dad, I got a call in the middle of the night. My dad had cancer. He was dying in the hospital. So I took off. I didn't tell anybody. We didn't have cell phones back then.
Right, right.
So I got back a day or 2 days later, and the head coach kicked me off. And Andy saw me walking out of the room, and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, I got kicked off the team." And Andy said, "Well, wait a second. Just wait." Went up to the front, talked to the coach, and 5 minutes later, I was back on the team. So he did that for me. So I was a mess. I mean, my dad had cancer.
Sure.
I wasn't thinking straight, but, nothing but love for the guy.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, we hear about Mizzou, but I've never talked to anybody who played for him at Mizzou. I didn't remember that you guys crossed paths, because at that time, Andy Reid wasn't Andy Reid.
If you look at that coaching staff, Dirk Cutter, Marty Mortingwick, Dave Tobe, I mean, we had an all-star staff, and yet we weren't that good. And I'll convey that back to the head coach. But again, maybe the player, we had good players. We
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
And we could have done better. That was a Colorado fifth down game, if you remember that.
Yes, I do.
Carnage, circus, whatever you want to call it. I got to watch my P's and Q's because I got to make sure I don't say the wrong.
Yeah,
don't want you to have to bleep anything, right?
We're talking to Russ McCullough, the CEO of A1C Drinks. Tell me about what you're doing. You brought by some samples, and we had them. It's very good. It's very healthy. How'd you get going on this?
So I was running the juice bars and vending machines for LA Fitness Corporate. It's a 800 gym club chain across the country. I've been in VC, investment banking, for 25 years. My friend got me the job. He's a crazy diabetic, and I happened to be contracted out by a water company, Defiance Fuel, and they were selling their water for a ridiculous amount, but they hired me to put their product in LA Fitness. Scott, who's my friend, who's a diabetic, said, "Hey, all these companies were coming to me wanting to put their products in LA Fitness," and he said, "I'm a diabetic. Is any diabetic products out there?" And I said, "No. I mean, 400, 500 companies have come to me with these greatest, whatever." It was 2017. So I actually asked Brian, the guy at the water company, I said, "Brian, have you heard any products for diabetics?" And Brian said, "I got a product for diabetics." I said, "You do?" I said, "What is it?" He goes, "Water." So, okay. So I Googled it and realized there were no products for a diabetic. And even in a store like, this is a knock on Hen House, because Hen House is one of our best customers. 40,000 SKUs in here, and there's not a SKU dedicated for people with diabetes or pre-diabetes. And understand the niche, okay? There's 100 million pre-diabetics and 40 million diabetics in the U.S. alone, 140 million. Now, you start adding childhood obesity, childhood diabetes. What do? This is the healthiest drink ever made. And when I say it does something, I can't say it does anything because the FDA would probably come and smack me, but 100% of the time, the people that have drank it, I've got their lab reports. And I've seen, if anybody knows what an A1C number is, it's a blood work number done to see how high your blood sugar is. And if it's above 6.5, you're diabetic. I get people's laboratories. I could sit here and show it to you. They dropped a point, 2 points. We did some clinical studies in Houston. The guy went from 11.9, it's supposed to be under 6.5, to 7.4 in a month. It also regulates blood sugar. If you look at the main ingredient, which is Ceylon cinnamon oil, the ADA proved that cinnamon lowered and controlled blood sugar. But they were using cassia cinnamon, which is a ground cinnamon bark you sprinkle in your apple pie. We used a pure extract oil, which is 100 times more potent and clean. So that's the main cause of why we're doing what the drink does, what it does. So it's a zero sugar, zero calories, zero carbonated, zero caffeinated. Everything drink that tastes and all that.
It's really good. I was shocked. I was like, okay, it's going to taste like, motor oil.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. I was really impressed.
When I was doing the LA Fitness gig, one guy came in one day with this protein bar, latest, greatest, whatever. And I took a bite and I immediately regurgitated it, just threw it up. I mean, it came out of the wrong side of a dog is what I thought in my brain immediately. And he's sitting across from me. I'm like, how are you with a straight face handing me this product, right? And I knew it took, you know, 5+ years to make the drink. I hired 3 chemists, 2 food scientists, and 11 laboratories because cinnamon burned everything up. It was the first samples were like drinking Fireball or
right.
Hot Damn or whatever, just burn. And finally, on my last lab, they fixed everything, and I knew it had to taste good. You know, that's the most important component. When you have a drink with nothing, when I say nothing, no, nothing bad, that tastes this good, it's an impossible drink, and I've been told that multiple times. And, you know, people are confused. They walk into the store, and they think zero sugar means it's healthy. You know.
Right.
And I don't know that I can throw any company under the bus. I'm an ex-athlete, you know, 7 years in the NFL. I drink Gatorade. And so, you know, I have a lot of investors in the company who are doctors. Most of my investors are either diabetics or doctors in the company. And I was drinking Gatorade Zero talking to one of the doctors, and he said, well, just turn the, you know, they call it nutritional fact panel, the NFP, and look how many grams of sodium. 270 milligrams of salt per bottle, 20-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
I was drinking 4 of these a day, thinking to myself, what is that doing to my heart? In our drink, we have 10 milligrams of sodium. So it's sweetened with erythritol, and, you know, we had some pushback. Erythritol comes from watermelon. I don't know how many people have been injured by eating too much watermelon. And in a slice of watermelon, there's 100 times more erythritol than a can in my drink. So, okay, not worried about that. Anybody who's misinformed. We live in a misinformed society today anyway, so this is why we're doing samplings here. We always do samplings. We want people to try the drink. That's the first thing. Because if you don't like the taste, you're not going to buy it.
But, right.
No matter what it does, it can cure cancer. If it tastes like mud, no one's going to buy it, you know. But I do think we have a solution. Again, when you walk into the store and you're looking for something that's healthy for your kids, if you're on that pre-diabetic range, if you're overweight slightly, if you're, you know, some of my friends, he's an MMA fighter, he's pre-diabetic, the guy works out 2 hours a day, eats clean, and he couldn't lower his A1C. He got on the drink for a month, and I, you know, he dropped his A1C by a half a point. So he went from 6.4 to 6.5, 6.4 to 6.0 in 30 days. Actually, it was 3 weeks. So again, I mean, the great thing is consumers are more knowledgeable today than they were 10 years ago, right? You know, when I'm on these social media support groups for diabetics, the first thing people think is Diet Coke. Again, I'm ripping on Diet Coke, but Diet Coke has carbonic acid in it. Well, that's kind of lighter food for neuropathy. So just because something's zero sugar does not mean it is healthy. Our drink is 100% natural, non-GMO, gluten-free, all organic, everything you want to throw out there.
And what are all the flavors? Because you got multiple flavors.
So we've got apple, peach, and mango.
Okay.
And
those are the three we had. I didn't know if you had more.
No, we're working on some more, but we're trying to keep pace because it was funny. I don't know how much time we have, but there was a product, we did an investor call a couple weeks ago, and there's a product called Liquid Death in a can. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I'm not.
The evaluation of this company was $1.4 billion, and it's water in a can, and it has some chemicals in it, and the evaluation is 1.4. It does nothing. I mean, Liquid Death, I don't know why anybody, and they had, I'm using this as an example, in 4 years they got to 500 stores in California only. Well, we signed up with AWG, American Wholesale Grocers, last July, and since then we're moving into close to 6,000-7,000 stores in less than a year. That's just a testament to the drink. I could be the greatest salesman in the world, but the drink is what sells a product. It's just, I just ask people to give it a chance. Just try
it. Yeah. It's just, you know, if you're diabetic, if you're pre-diabetic, you're definitely looking for something, right?
Well, and if you're a mom coming in, you know, shopping for your family, in, you know, so Jordan, who's my assistant, amazing assistant, the best you could ever have, put her 2-year-old on it. She's been drinking it for 2 years now, and the only thing she drinks is she drinks A1C, occasionally milk, and I think water. She's 2 years old. If you can make a 2-year-old happy, I'm pretty sure anybody. We have 2-year-olds to 98-year-olds drinking it, so when we're talking about advertising demographics, what do? I mean, who do we focus on? Because it's great for everybody. Your mom coming into a store, you want to buy healthy products, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It just is. And it's not one of these $6 bottle of kombuchas that tastes, in my opinion, not great. It's, you know, I think Henhouse might be doing a 2-for-5 or 2-for-4 on them. Again, you know, you have options. This is the option. Again, there's 40,000 SKUs in a grocery store and one SKU for, you know, specifically designed for diabetics, pre-diabetics, childhood obesity, childhood diabetes. So
it's, I would say there's, you know, the old adage, there's riches and niches, but this isn't really a niche.
No.
There's a lot of people battling diabetes, and so this is perfect for a lot of people.
Well, and I looked at it, when I first looked at it, it was like, okay, I was thinking, I didn't know anything about diabetes in 2017, nothing. And I looked at it and I went, okay, 140 million Americans, that's a niche the size of a Grand Canyon. Like, why is nobody, I'm not trying to encourage people to compete with me, but why is there nothing out there?
That's a great point.
And this is 2017 and there's still nothing out there for diabetics or pre-diabetics or anybody who just wants something clean, fresh, zeros. Don't drink your calories. It's a big concept in managing weight control. Don't drink your calories.
Yeah.
Zero calories.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
I mean, because if you're fighting, you know, fighting, trying to be healthy, don't drink your calories.
And by the way, Russ looks like he could step on the field right now. I joked around. One of us got weights for Christmas.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. That's pretty clear.
Well, I have delusions of grandeur. Trust me. I have the thought that I want to go back out there. And by the way, for the Chiefs fans out there, that Juwan Taylor kid, I felt bad for him. That kid got abused by the league. I mean, he wasn't doing,
wasn't doing anything anybody else wasn't doing.
No. And again, everybody was ripping on the guy. Look, I love the kid. I mean, he was busting his ass. You could see he's busting his ass. He's going downfield, hitting the, everybody's ripping on him. I played right tack. I played everything. When I was with the Chiefs, I broke my hand in 37 places in Tokyo. Snapping to Montana. I was like, you know.
You were the tallest center ever.
Ever. I think I was 6'10", you know. But I learned, you know, because I wanted to keep playing. So I learned every position. I learned how to short snap and long snap. And what ended my career, sadly, is the Raiders signed me. They sent me to the World League. And I played for the Frankfurt Galaxy, who won the championship that year. And Stotner was the coach. And somewhere in that year, I got a concussion. And I don't remember when. I don't remember how it happened. And it was scary because we went into training camp because the World League ended in July. And then we start training camp in El Segundo. Came back. One day, I woke up in a movie theater, and I didn't know who I was. The thing that freaked me out, this is a really interesting story if you got a second. The thing that freaked me out the most, I'm watching The Indian in the Cupboard. I don't know why I remember the movie, but I don't know who I am. And so it took me 20 minutes to figure out, and then I realized I'm missing practice. And I was more panicked that I was missing training camp. And I went into Mike White's office, and I said to Mike White, who was the head coach, I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. And I wasn't saying that because I forgot who I was. I was saying that because I was scared I missed the training camp practice.
Right.
And so they didn't give me an exit physical. They didn't do anything. And so when COVID happened, huge Christian. So when COVID happens, I went broke. I put in all my money into this company from 17 to whenever the COVID year went. COVID year happens, and I have everything I have at the pawn shop, trying to keep the company going, trying to make the drink right, because at that time it did not taste good. Lo and behold, that October of the COVID year, I have a great Roy. He's my he was my NFL counsel. Comes back to me and says, hey, we were in a workman's comp case with the NFL. And he said, hey, we've got a settlement offer. And it was like $200K. And I was thinking to myself at the time, I was dating a girl from overseas. And I thought, man, I just spent over $200K trying to make this. I get $200,000 free, and I can go move over to her country, live on the beach for 20 years, not 20, maybe 8-9 years and not work and just enjoy life because I already wasted $200,000 trying to figure this out. Am I stupid enough to put the next $200,000 in to try to make sure it works because I don't know if it's going to work or not.
Right.
And because I'm as dumb as I am, you know, as Coach Reed said, I mean, I put it back into making the drink. And I'm thankful that I have because I've helped. I mean, again,
That's amazing.
When you have everything you own at the pawn shop, you know, your rings, your whatever has value because you're broke because COVID happened and everybody shut down, you get $200,000. What do you do? I mean, I genuinely was like, I don't think this is going to work.
That is an unbelievable, like rags to riches.
Well, I mean, we're still rags, but
the company is flourishing, and you got the product the way you want it. And
I'm
it's
happy.
In Hen House, you know, that's pretty awesome, man.
Well, in Hen House, you know, Lou Malaponte, who's one of my key guys, my key contacts over at Hen House. I think we sold about 1,000 cans per store last year. And again, we're not doing any marketing, no advertising. Yet we'll be doing a lot. We're doing, by the way, I should go ahead and let you guys know this. Starting June 11th, from November 11th, we're giving away to two people a year's worth of free groceries. All they have to do is try the drink and send a testimonial to the website. That's it. And if they win, randomly selected, they get a year's worth of free groceries.
That's so awesome.
I mean,
that's awesome.
It's the least we can do. The economy's not great. I'm not going to get down rabbit hole, but you know, we're going to start that June 11th and help out. And again, we want people to try the drink.
So they can come out here to Hen House, they can try it. They can, and this is going to be everywhere eventually,
yeah.
Right? Russ, that's an incredible story. It's great talking to you. Like I said, 30 years ago, one of the first guys I interviewed, and it's great to see you.
Was it a good interview? Did I do a
good
job?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yeah.
I got to make sure I didn't goof that up.
Me and my buddy Pete Enoch, we had a great time. We loved it. So listen, congrats on the success of the company, and hopefully everyone gives it a try, and you know, we'll have you back here down the road.
I hope so. I appreciate your time, guys. Thank you guys for letting me do this.
You bet. You bet. Russ McCullough with us here in the program. He's the CEO of A1C Drinks. Come check it out right here at Hen House.
All right, on this date, the last 40-point performance in a national championship game. Who did it? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.